John. I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish the message that I started 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to go over some of the same things that I already did preach, and just to bring us back in remembrance of those things. So let's turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I'll just read the first two verses and then we'll read on from there, so keep your hand there. John 14, 1 and 2 said, "Let not your heart be troubled or uncertain or agitated, disturbed." Don't let your heart be uncertain. "Ye believe," or "you have faith in," "you have faith upon," or "respect God, believe also in me." He said, you have this faith in God, have the same respect, have the same faith in me. Jesus speaking here. Verse number 2, "In my Father's house," or as the original Greek and Hebrew would say, "in mine own house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I go to prepare a place for you. And I titled this 2 weeks ago, "Jesus is the Way." God bless you. You may be seated. I think one of many things that affected me in the most profound way is, as a matter of fact, I had that young man walking through the airport. He said, "What was the single most profound thing that happened to you while you were there?" And without getting into great detail with this young man, because of course I did not want to wreck or ruin his faith at all, I had some trouble there, and I'm going to probably talk about the most, shall I say, the negative side of my experience. And when I say that, don't get me wrong about what I'm about ready to say, but it was a tremendous. I grieved tremendously to see, it reminded me, let me say it like this, it reminded me of Paul preaching to those in Athens when he said to the, where they had a monument set up to the unknown God. It's amazing the amount of idolatry that is in the city of Jerusalem. It is amazing the idolatry that is on every corner. Yet such a extremely powerful religious community. Inside the city gates of Old Jerusalem, there are more than 35,000 people that live inside of those walls. It is amazing to see it split up into four different quarters. You have the Christian quarter, the Armenian quarter, the Muslim quarter, and the Jewish quarter. So it's split in four quarters. Every one of them, they're functioning and they're working together, and they accept one another. And it's so amazing to see how much idolatry is there and how much they are so willing just to give in to every wind of doctrine, as the scripture said. And so it really brought some of these things that I preached just before I left home and brought it even to a clearer and finer point. For even our tour guide, Gary, over and over and over again said that we're all serving the same God. But yet he talked about Muhammad and he talked about this one. And as other religions from all over the world were there touring the Holy Land, each one of them, each tour guide, it was amazing to understand that each tour guide had their own version. And I just, and they could be even said of us. But the thing that I think was most profound to our tour guide is we didn't connect to a religion. And that's what he goes, well, what about, and it was repeated over and over again, this isn't a religion. This isn't a religion. And over again, he would talk about this religion and that religion. And it brought home again the power of a relationship with Jesus. Because of all of the religious rituals and all of the religion things that were there and symbols and so on and so forth. One of the very first things that I did on the very first morning is we got up early that morning and we went to the Armenian Orthodox Church. And it was very dark. It was very gloomy. Incense being burnt all over the place. And priests in black hooded robes and walking around. And just, it was very, very oppressive feeling. Yet there was a woman that was kneeling down and kissing the ground over and over again, ritualistically, over and over again. Tears. Tears streaming down her face as she was worshiping what she did not even understand. And as many of us preachers were sitting there along the side and experiencing the whole entire thing, I wanted so desperately to reach out to that woman. I wanted so desperately to reach out to her and tell her about Jesus. And it grieved my heart because of all of the religion. I cannot express it enough to us today that this is not a religion. This is a relationship. And oh, how we need to express our relationship with Jesus. How we need a deep and profound relationship with Him. And that Jesus is the only way. And I begin to think about it. I wasn't going to do this, but I can't get away from it. So I guess this is what it's going to be. But I cannot get away from the fact that it's no different than the day of Jesus was walking those streets of Jerusalem. How the religious leaders had gone so far away from everything that God's will was and His plan was. And it's even that way today. And I just wonder, as God looks down, amen, and sees that city that it is so full of idolatry. I can see it grieving Him and say, you've got all of these idols and you've got all of these antics and you've got all of these rituals, but I'm the one. I'm the one that died for you. I'm the one that cares about you and loves you and wants to give you life. And that was one thing that kept on going over and over in my mind. He came to give us life and give it to us more abundant. But it's so often you could feel the oppression. You could feel that because of that overwhelming idolatry that was there, you could feel the oppression. You could feel the heaviness. There really wasn't any joy. There wasn't any happiness. There wasn't any excitement because it was a continual ritual. And here in this setting of Scripture, we have a very, very awesome setting here. And I don't want to go through all of it in detail like I did before, but we understand that more than 50 times Jesus refers to the children and Himself being their father. As a father, through an example, He teaches His disciples how to treat, how to act, how to live. As a father, He is our greatest example. And I'm thankful for that. As we did go through and we did learn so much. And I will tell you this: our tour guide was so kind, and in so many ways he did portray Jesus and His kindness in his acts of love, and I won't get into all of that, but it was an extreme sight to see and behold, the overwhelming kindness that he did have. And I thought, God, help us as we have your divine spirit, help me to be more like you. Amen. Verse number 3, let's quickly go on so I can tag into the rest of this. And if I go to prepare a place for you as a good father would, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going to tell you and remind you today that Jesus wants you to be close to him. Jesus wants to have a close, intimate relationship with you. He doesn't want you to just have a relationship with him on Sunday morning and then pack your Jesus up and put him on the shelf and go do whatever you want to do the rest of the week. But he wants to be intimate with you day in and day out, morning, afternoon, and evening.
Amen.
He wants to be close to you. He said, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And this is where Thomas steps up and he says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, so how can we know the way? What do you mean we know where you're going? We don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said unto him, this is a profound statement, really, and some of us, it's become so mundane. It's become, can I even say that this scripture's almost become a ritual to us? It's lost its power. It's lost its
flavor.
Power. I don't know what else to say. We've learned how to even speak after the words of Jesus, but they're really far removed from our heart. They're not as powerful as they ought to be. And Jesus simply says, "I am the way. I am the way." Let me rephrase that, because that word, that little word, it changes the meaning. That the T-H-E can be the way, as in that's the way, that's the way. But in the original translation, it would say, "I am the way." That means that Jesus said, "I am the way. I'm the only way. There's not a multifaceted way. You've got to come through and by me." Jesus is the only way. He said, then he goes on, "the truth." There's no other truth in a world that is constantly changing. The word of God does not change. Are you thankful for that today? I'm thankful that I can still depend on the word of God. I can go back and I can study. I can get to the real meaning of the word of the Lord today, and I don't have to worry about the way I feel today or tomorrow, because the word is forever settled in heaven. It doesn't change. We change. Societies change. I'll tell you, one of the most amazing things is too that in every civilization, it was a very, very profound. As we stood at the Wailing Wall, they have one archaeological site that goes down where King Herod had built the walls up, and you can see the different levels, and I didn't know this until we spent some time there, but after every rise and fall of who took over and controlled that area, they would decimate the area and cover it over with dirt and then build their temple, and then hundreds of years later, they would get decimated and overrun, and another country would rule over them. They would run it down stone, bury it over with dirt, and then build another temple on top of that. In many of the places that they called mountains, as they began to dig, they found multiple layers of civilization all the way down. So where the current Wailing Wall is, it's several hundred feet down to the original bedrock, to the original road that was made at the Temple Mount, going all the way back to that very first temple. It was astounding to see that over time they built, they conquered, and they would build right over the top or on top of it. The next civilization would get conquered again, and it would just grow and grow and grow. While civilizations make change, while societies change and rise and fall and rise and fall, His word never changes. He still said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. Though things rise and fall and come and go, there's no life outside of Jesus. And He said, no man cometh unto the Father. Amen. The Father's house. That word, when it's translated, He says that it really goes back into the place that the Father's house. Amen. That you're not going to come unto my house or unto, when it separates that, it's not separating identities. It's replacing the thought of a parent. In that place, that mansion, that place that I'm preparing for you, He said, you've got to come by me, because I am the way, because I am the truth, because I am the life. And then He says, if ye had known me, if you knew really, look at that, just that one little word, if is a powerful word. He said, if you had known me. It was amazing to see. I went up to, and I've got some pictures of this, a mezuzah. It's a little, that can be made out of stone and metal and all kinds of different things, but it's a mezuzah that has the Torah wrapped up, scrolled up inside of it, and they put it on the doorpost, and that in the Torah it is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. It is wrapped up in all of the commandment in there, and it's on every doorpost. Where I noticed it was when we walked into Zion's Gate, and there was a bunch of children that were coming into Zion's Gate, and each one of those, the teacher was the first one that stopped there, put their hand on it, and kissed the mezuzah and walked through. And every child that walked through kissed the mezuzah and put their hand on it as they walked in. I began to pay close attention. Everyone that walked in and out of the city, almost everyone that walked in and out of the city, would go by and put their hand on the mezuzah or kiss the mezuzah. Amen. Recognizing even to this day that Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Yeah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy strength. Everything that's a little, I'm going to tell you, that was really powerful, because as I went over there, because I saw all the kids kissing that thing, and I thought, what in the world are they kissing? Another thing that I thought of, my Lord, have mercy, how many germs on that? Serious. But as we went to each station of the crucifixion, I'm going to tell you, there was a place at every one of those places. We were there on Friday, and that's a big tradition. It's a big ritual that so many people walk the road to Calvary's cross, and there's 12 different stations. There's 12 different symbolized deals, and people walking by and kissing them and touching them like crazy. It was an astounding thing. That's what I'm talking about, ritualism. But man, to see them go by, and they're recognizing it. They're recognizing, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. I even bought some. I'm going to put it on my office door. You know what? It just brought so many things alive to realize how important it was. And even to this day, that there's one God. There's one God. There's one God. Not only just one God. So Jesus said, I am the way. He was saying, I am that one God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life.
Right.
How powerful that is to understand. Then he goes on in this same scripture. And some of you may say, well, Pastor, you're preaching this all over again. I know. And I'm going to preach it again. And I'm going to preach it again. If those little kids from that young age of 3, 4, 5 years old are going by and can barely reach up and touch the bottom of that and being told over and over and over again every single day, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, I'm going to tell you what, it needs to be preached everywhere we go. The way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to salvation.
Amen.
It needs to be preached over and over and over again. Amen. And then so in verse 7 he said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. If you knew who I was, you would know who my Father is. And from henceforth, or even now, or in the present, right now, you know him and have seen him.
Woo.
Yeah, that word seen means you are staring at him presently.
Right.
You are experiencing him right now, or he doth appear right now. So Jesus is saying, you know him and you have seen him. You're staring the Father in the face.
Yeah.
What a revelation that must have been, but yet they still didn't get it at that point. Here Jesus is speaking those words. You're looking at me. You're staring at me eye to eye. You're looking at the Father. And verse number 8 said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. Show us. Let us see what you're talking about. And it suffices. We'll be okay. We'll understand. And look what he does again. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Philip, come on, buddy. Man, you've been walking with me. I've been talking with you. I've been communing with you. We've ate together. You've seen the miracles. You've seen this. You've seen all these things that have gone on. And he said, and yet hast thou not known me? You don't know who I am yet. You've watched me do these miracles, Philip. And you don't know who I am? Look what Jesus says. He that hath seen me. And that word is seen, again, in the original, to stare at presently. He that is staring at me presently. He that is looking at me right now hath seen the Father.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. You're looking at me, Philip. Come on, Philip. Connect the dots here. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. You're looking at me presently right now.
Oh,
hallelujah. And how sayest then, shew us, or show us the Father? Then verse 10 it said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He asked him a question. You don't believe that the Father is in me and I am in him? Do you not believe this, Philip? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. Now I'm going to come back and I'm going to hit this again because I think that we need to touch on it again. I want you to remember where Mary was impregnated. The scripture said in Luke chapter 1 verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here is our scripture in the Word of God that the Spirit was the one that overshadowed Mary.
Right.
And that word overshadowed, it even equates to impregnates her or brings life unto her womb. So if that's the case, then the Holy Spirit is the Father.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's why you cannot separate the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. You can't, because...
Come on now.
Right?
Yes. Right.
You can't do that because everybody said, well, that's God the Father. Well, how is that the Son of God?
Right.
If the Holy Ghost was the one that overshadowed Mary and impregnated her, then the Holy Spirit really ought to be the Father.
Right.
If we're going to use terminology and use it correctly, the Holy Spirit becomes the Father. Well, we can't do that because we got God the Father over here, God the Son over here. God. No, what we have is all three of these are one. All the fullness of the Father dwelleth in me. In me dwelleth all of the fullness. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, excuse me. So then in verse number 11, he said, believe me. Jesus is still speaking here. Believe me. He said, have faith in me. Put your confidence in me. Put your trust in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And then he says, and if you can't quite get there, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, at least, at a very bare minimum, understand and see the miracles that are happening before you. The blinded eyes are open. The deaf ears are unstopped. The lame are walking again. The deaf ears are hearing. The dead are being... Believe for that very thing. Have confidence. Have trust.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15 said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The scripture, Jesus is continually warning them and saying, hey, there's going to be people that are going to tell you, hey, you can do it this way and you can do it that way. And the scripture goes on and on. I got to just tag in for a few things real quick and move on. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. Don't want to spend a lot of time here because I'm supposed to be recapping. Yeah, so much for that. I don't remember. I think I remember, but I don't want to get it wrong, so I won't say who it was, but I think I remember somebody even telling me that somebody used to preach, that they would preach on a series, and they would preach, and they'd go in the recap, and they would preach a whole hour on the recap, and go, well, I guess we didn't get any further than what we did last week, because they preached the whole message on the recap, and so that may be kind of what this is right now, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still good. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men. You know, Let me say something about not all traditions are bad, okay? But we all know the story about cooking a Christmas ham, right? You put that Christmas ham in there, and Mama was cutting off the ends of the ham and putting it in there, and finally they asked, "Well, why do you do that?" "Well, I don't know really why I would do that. That's how the great grandma always did. She always cut off both ends of the ham and put it in there before she cooked it in the oven." And so they finally went back to Grandma and said, "Grandma, why did you do this? Why'd you cut off both ends of the ham before you cooked the ham?" She said, "Oh, because our ham would never fit in the pan." So they just said, they had no idea why Grandma did it until Grandma said that. You don't always have to cut off both ends of the ham. It may fit in your pan.
Right.
Huh? And so tradition is not always bad, but yet at the same time, the scripture warns us about the traditions of men. And there's a lot of traditions, especially in cultures. Especially in cultures, that culturally speaking, there's tradition after tradition after tradition. And the Bible warns us, don't get caught up in the traditions of men.
Right.
Don't do all that stuff. And there's some things that we do allow, and we have family traditions and cultural traditions and so on and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, if our tradition stands in the way of truly living for God,
right.
Our tradition's got to go out the window.
Right.
If your tradition crosses the theology or philosophy of the Word of God, your tradition's got to go.
Right.
Come on now. Amen. And I don't care how many years it's been practiced. It doesn't matter. Tradition won't save you. Jesus warns against it over and over again. Beware. Beware. You can get so caught up in your tradition that it spoils you. It ruins you. Makes a mess. And so he warns here, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Remember what you're doing here. This is about Jesus. Verse number 9, a very powerful setting of scripture for us. For in him, who's it talking about? In Jesus, right? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He ties this all together. Beware lest you be spoiled. You be ruined. Nobody wants something that's spoiled. You got mold all over it. It stinks. It's slimy. It's whatever.
Right.
It's spoiled. Amen. The pure Word of God, the pure relationship with Jesus Christ can be spoiled by philosophy, by deceit, by traditions, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse number 10, and ye are complete. I'm going to tell you today, if you're looking for to be complete, you are complete in him. Did you get what the scripture said? It said in him. It said you are complete in him.
Yeah.
So you ain't catching it still. It didn't say you are complete in them.